Welcome back to the couch, everybody. Welcome back to another NBA episode. Max and I are here to talk some playoff basketball. Max, we've seen a bunch of game ones. We've seen a couple game twos. We're here to deliver our predictions on the rest of how these series go in the first round. It has been a whirlwind of a couple of days, Max. I've tried to watch every game. I've missed a couple, but it's been crazy. How are you?
I'm good. I think most podcasts, they are dumb and they give out their predictions for how the series is going to happen or go before the games actually happen. But what we did is we waited until there was game one or two, and now we can make more accurate predictions. So I feel like we kind of were smart on this one.
We're way smarter than everyone else. There's no reason
Absolutely.
Not to do this. My favorite series so far has been Nuggets Clippers. We've seen two games of an absolute battle, a showdown. It is such a fun matchup. The Nuggets defense has really surprised me. I picked the Clippers in six before the series. I think it's going to go a full seven games now, Max. What have you thought about that series, and what do you think is the outcome?
Yeah, so I picked the Clippers in seven. I feel pretty comfortable with that. I actually think it might be closer to this towards the Clippers in six, especially first off, I mean, the elephant in the room here is how amazing Kawhi Leonard has been playing. He has been playing absolutely incredible. Last game, I believe he was like 15 for 19, extremely efficient. And what we love about Kawhi is that he takes the most difficult shots and he gets to a spot no matter what, no matter how they're guarding him. He is able to get to his spot and elevate and shoot a jumper. It's those elbow jumpers that he's known for. And it's truly something remarkable. And it's insane to find a player who, rarely plays during the regular season, is consistently injured, and then you can literally just grab him and plug him in to a playoff team, and he makes them one of the most scary teams in the West now. I genuinely think that besides the Thunder, I think the Clippers are the second best team in the West now. And I'm genuinely afraid of them. And I think they can make a really deep run because they have a couple of different things going for them. They have one of the best players in the world in Kawhi Leonard. They have a really, really great number two option in James Harden. They have an elite center and number three option in Vika Zubac, who is incredible at both rim protection and offensively. He has been incredible. And then they have a great amount of depth and role players that can come in and just make it difficult. They have a bunch of guys that have experience and are able to just come in off the bench and give the other teams some run, for 15, 12, 8 minutes and put up shots and allow for their stars to rest, and they can be okay. They're the complete antithesis of Denver, who has no depth. And when Jokic is off the floor, as we've said all season, this team is abysmal. So that's been the real thing, is I think the Clippers match up so well against the against the Nuggets because they're just the complete opposite of them, really.
Yeah, well, they also match up well because they have one of the guys that's in the handful that you would choose to put on Jamal Murray and Chris Dunn. I mean, Chris Dunn is absolutely elite, and that's been a really fun battle to watch. And then you also have Zubac, who's probably the single person that I would pick to put against Jokic. Jokic has his lowest true shooting percentage over the last two seasons against Ivica Zubac, and that's been a crazy battle. But yeah, I agree with some of what you said, but I think this is closer to a seven-game series. I think I would still pick Clippers in seven because of all the matchup stuff that I just talked about. But game one, I think the Nuggets started off, and it was just a clear like lack of focus and effort, and it was just like, all right, guys, wake up. Like, it's the playoffs. You guys have been, lackadaisical all year, and you've been saving yourselves for this moment. It's time. And I think in the second half, in that middle of the third quarter through the fourth quarter, you saw the Nuggets ramp up the intensity and the focus and the energy. And when Jokic plays with energy on defense, like, they can be a decent defense. We're talking about them all year as this piss poor, awful defense. But if they just play with that kind of playoff energy, like, they can survive, and then they have this unstoppable offense with Jokic, the Jokic-Murray two-man game. I've talked about how cohesive I think their starting five is for years, and it still is even without KCP and Christian Brown. So I have a lot of respect for the Nuggets. I think this series is unbelievable. But Kawhi, you mentioned, he not only went 15 for 19, but he went 14 for 18 on jump shots. He had one make at the rim, 14 for 18 on jump shots. That was actually an all-time playoff performance, especially in terms of just jump shooting. that's as rare as it gets in terms of jumpers. But I don't know. I mean, I think relying on Kawhi to be that superhuman is a bit too much.
You don't
But
have
yeah.
to. You have James Harden and Zubats who can come in and take the load off. I mean, look about it this way, right? You mentioned game one, Denver played really well, and but they still lost, man. Like they lost that game. They played, or excuse me, they played
Well,
poorly and
I
they
thought it
lost.
looked like it was going to be a blowout, and I was like, oh, Clippers are going to win in 5 games. And it, to see the Nuggets actually string together stops against a really good offense, I thought was encouraging in that game, and it carried over into game two.
I meant to say in game two, they played really well and they still lost, right? You
Yeah.
had a solid, actually, you had a pretty solid performance from Jamal. I mean, not his greatest performance, but he's sick right now, which I mean, playoff Jamal Murray, man, you can't really count on him in terms of health. If it's not like injuries, it's sickness now. I mean, he played all right. He had 23, 6, and 2, but Jokic, I know if you like look at the stats, he played well. He had 12 rebounds, 10 assists, 26 points. That was not a good Jokic game. He
No.
was flopping around, making dumb fouls, making really bad turnovers. I think he had like seven
Seven.
turnovers, missing free throws. That was a really bad Jokic game for by his standards. And your other guys, they stepped up for the most part. I mean, Michael Porter Jr., after getting yelled at by Jokic and his and Adelman, he ended up with 15 rebounds and 15 points. Aaron Gordon chipped in 14. Russell Westbrook chipped in 14. I mean, you look at this lineup, right? Like, how many more points are you going to get from these guys? And then you look at it compared to the depth of the Clippers, where any time you could have, like, Bogdan Bogdanovic had a bad game that night. He didn't
He's
score.
been terrible.
Batum, yeah, he's been terrible, but he is someone that I don't think that'll continue. Like, he's just someone that he's kind of slumpy. Like, he'll shoot himself out of slumps and then become on fire and just go off. Like Harden didn't have a great game. Zubats had a pretty solid game. Norm Powell played all right, but really Kawhi just led the way. I mean, they can have games where Kawhi isn't as dominant as he is as he is in game two, and they can still just, tread water and be better. And it looks like Jokic is starting to break down a little bit because he's had such a tall order on him all season long, where he's had to do so much for this team. You're seeing him start to get frustrated with teammates. You're seeing him start to argue calls even more than he already does. It seems like to me the Nuggets are starting to become a little unraveled here, and the Clippers are really starting to put it together. So I'm fearful for the Nuggets, man. I think this is the Clippers series to win. And like, if I'm Jokic, I mean, you gotta figure this bench thing out, because there's just, when he's off the floor, like we saw it. There was, what was it, the second quarter they took Jokic off. I think it was the end of the first, start of the second. They took him off, and immediately the Clippers just went on a 6-0 run, and they had to like rush him back on the floor because the team just falls apart without him on the floor.
Yeah, I mean it's disgusting. I wouldn't say Jokic is unraveling. I think the Clippers are doing a really good job on him. They're sending triple teams at him, like they're sending doubles from every which way, and it got him a couple times, and it caused some turnovers. He also had some really sloppy, just out of character turnovers in game two, which I wouldn't expect to continue. But yeah, I mean it's an incredible series. Both coaching staffs are actually doing an amazing job. The adjustments, it's literally like the highest level of basketball that you could ask for.
Oh,
So
yeah.
I'm incredibly excited to watch that one going forward. I will
Absolutely.
change my prediction to Clippers in seven now after seeing the first two games. All right, let's move to the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors. Golden State's up 1-0. We saw an absolute rock fight in game one. Super low scoring game, amazing defense on both sides. Steph Curry obviously rose above everybody else on the court, as he often does. But Max, how do you see this going? What did you have before the series?
Well, I think I texted you. I think it was Rockets in seven, but I didn't feel great about it. I still don't feel good about that one. I'm gonna switch mine to Warriors in six. The Rockets team, man, they just can't score. And if Jalen Green is going to continue to be as bad as he was in game one, I actually don't know how they're gonna score the basketball. That team, it's been an issue all year long. The Warriors just were able to show us, like, in the playoff form, how bad it can really get for them. I mean, Alperen Sengun had a great game. They were kind of laying back on him a little bit and kind of daring him to shoot that like little mid-range floater type thing, and he kept hitting it. So I don't know why they did that, because if you watch LP all season long as we have, like, that's a shot that he never passes up and is willing to hit. I thought Brooks was bad. I thought defensively he was solid, but offensively he was really bad. Amen defensively was really interesting. I think they're clearly tasking him with a lot. Hopefully, I think he can hang on and stay with it. But when Fred VanVleet and Jalen Green play as poorly as they did, there is no way that this team is going to win, no matter how good Steven Adams is, who seems to be the key in this series, because that double big lineup with the zone man, the Warriors are struggling with that.
Yeah, real quick on Amen. I mean, obviously defensively, like Steph is just gonna do things that you can't do anything about. I'm not ever worried about Amen on that end. I thought he looked a little rattled offensively. I thought he looked a little jittery, and I hope and honestly I expect him to have better offensive games as we go forward. I picked Warriors in six before. I'll stick with Warriors in six. Like you said, Jalen Green and Fred VanVleet being that bad offensively, that is a problem, but I also want to give a lot of credit to the Warriors defense. Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler are an absolute nightmare of a defensive duo. I mean, every rotation, every switch, every double, it's just they execute defensively perfectly. And executing against this Rockets team, it's not that hard defensively. They don't have a bunch of guys that are super hard to guard individually. I do think Şengün is actually a pretty tough matchup for Draymond, and I was really happy to see Şengün have a really good performance. This is simple for me. It comes down to, can they keep Steven Adams on the court? And also, does Ime Udoka trust Steven Adams in that lineup enough to really like go down with the ship with it? Now, regardless if they can keep Adams on the floor or not, I don't think they win the series, but I think it's their best shot. And I just think when I'm not going to rely on Jalen Green, I'm not going to rely on
No.
Fred VanVleet to carry the offense. I really just think getting the offensive rebounds is your best shot. And especially against this Warriors team that wants to play small with Draymond at the five, I think that lineup is a really like it's almost like a kryptonite for the Warriors. Like there's not a whole lot they can do with it in terms of the offensive glass. Now the problem is the zone. The Warriors are obviously an excellent offensive team, and they can, they're gonna find ways to score against the zone, but I liked the zone in game one. Like I thought it did really well. And on, honestly, the Şengün and Adams double big lineup wasn't amazing. I think they should obviously continue to use it, but I liked the Adams Jabari minutes. They dominated the glass, and I think having Jabari made some plays in that zone defensively where he's literally in two places at once, and that is how you keep Steven Adams on the court, is by having all these athletes around him. Shout out Tari Eason as well for that same thing in terms of crashing the boards and in terms of being really great in the zone.
Well, I mean, the Rockets had 52 total rebounds. The Warriors had 36. They had the same amount of defensive rebounds. The Warriors had six offensive rebounds, and the Rockets had 22 offensive rebounds. So they
It's
got,
incredible. It's their best
yeah,
offense.
it is. But like you said, with the zone, I mean, you could, if you were like, name two players who can beat a zone better than, like, you would pick Draymond Green and Steph Curry with that two-man game. I mean,
Yeah.
Draymond is ideal. Like, what are you taught in middle school basketball? You get it to the guy in the middle or foul line extended, rather, like in the elbow, and he let him cook it when everyone tries to collapse on him. That's exactly what they do, especially with the movement that Steph Curry has. Like, they are kind of tailor-made to beat a zone. But with that being said, Jabari Smith Jr., his defensive versatility, because he has the length and the speed, the ability to guard multiple
Well, everyone
positions
on
at
Houston
once.
goes in that same vein too.
Absolutely. Yes. And then Adams is just so good as that big in the center, like in the center of the zone. Like, he is so solid, it's impossible to get a rebound around him. That is a key. But I mean, like you said, take the ball out of, you don't want to rely on Fred VanVleet and Jalen Green. Where else are you getting your points? I mean, Alpi had 28 and you still only scored 85 points. Like, I don't know where you're getting your
Well,
points
okay.
from.
So I will say there is some variance here. Like Fred 4 for 19, 2 for 13 from three. Are we expecting
Yes.
that all series from Fred? I don't think so. I
He's a
think there will
less than
be.
40% field goal shooter, I'm pretty sure.
That's absolutely fair, but he's not a 15% 3-point shooter.
No.
That's all I'm saying is I think there will be nights where the Rockets make shots and where they actually dominate the game. Now, can they do that four times? No, I don't think so. But I think there will be nights where they get hot and guys like Jalen and like Fred are knocking down shots, and then it goes from there. And they can, set up the zone. Adams doesn't have to run in transition, all this type of stuff.
Well, you mentioned he's not a 15% three-point shooter. Dude, he shoots 21.9% from the 3-point line against the Warriors. So clearly that wing defense is something that's affected Fred in the past, like his entire, or this season, I mean. And then in the last 10 games, he shot 31% from three and 31% from the field. And against the Warriors, he shoots 22% from the field. So Fred, like, we need the Rockets need him to get it going. Like, it's crazy to think that, like, Fred VanVleet, the guy that was
Well,
on the
they need him to
Raptors way
make
back
wide
when.
open shots.
Yes,
That's what they
and he
need.
can't, and he just hasn't been. Hopefully he can get it going. But yeah, if I'm the Rockets, man, they only played, what was it, like nine, like an eight-ish, 7-8 man lineup.
Yeah.
I would like to see some more minutes out of someone off the bench just to see if you can get someone in there that can hit shots. I mean, Cam Whitmore, like,
Yeah.
defensively, not ideal. And I know you're based off defense, but you're scoring 85 points in a playoff game. You got to get someone in there that can shoot the ball. I'm not opposed to, you held the Warriors to 95 points, man. I'm not opposed to giving up a little bit of defense just to try and get some offense going.
I don't hate it. I disagree. I would go down with my guys. I don't think Jalen Green and Fred are going to be this bad all series, that bad all series. If they are, they're going to get swept, and I don't think that's going to happen. But speaking of guys off the bench, there has been a lot of Jonathan Kuminga talk. Didn't get any
Oh,
run in game one. What are your thoughts?
so I text you about this, I think, every day about why is Kuminga not playing. I like Kuminga a lot. I know he makes a lot of very sh he's just not a Warriors guy. And Steve Kerr has this history where Brandon Ingram on Team USA, Jason Tatum on Team USA, D'Angelo Russell when he was with the Warriors, any number of guys that have come through either the Warriors or Team USA where they don't fit Kerr's system and they just don't play. Clearly, Kuminga is one of those guys. Clearly, he's going to be off this team this season, this offseason, excuse me. It's really hard for me to believe that you can't find a spot for him in this series. And he's getting DNPs, Jordan. He is too good for DNPs. Now, I understand if you put him on, if you cut his minutes or whatever. DNPs, this guy can play in this series, man. He has the athleticism and the lack of fear to go at this Rockets team. I mean, this Rockets team is built off of athleticism and pushing the ball and speed. This Warriors team is pretty old. Now, I know it's Jimmy Butler minutes is kind of like the reason that he's not playing as much. I just find it hard that you can't find a spot for him, but you're trying to make, guys like Quentin Post fit and things like that. I just think there's a spot for Kuminga, and I'm a little surprised that he hasn't seen the floor at all yet.
Post looked out of place. He looked out of
Post looked
sorts.
bad.
He looked
Yeah.
scared.
Yeah.
If he's not going to hit shots, there's no reason to have him out there. What's crazy is they played 10 guys. They played 10
Yeah.
guys real minutes. Like, there was no garbage time in
Buddy
this game,
Hield played
obviously.
15 minutes and did
Buddy Hield,
nothing.
yeah, he was terrible. I mean, Gui Santos, I love Gui. I think that, like to say that Kuminga should play over Buddy Hield just because Buddy played bad, it's such a different type of player. I don't know if that's a fair thing that you can say because
I'm
it
not saying
changes the
play over him. I'm
spacing.
saying play some amount. I'm not saying
Yeah,
put him
but
in there
this is
for
what I'm
30
saying is
minutes
the
or
guy he'd
15
be playing
minutes.
over is Gui Santos. And what
Yeah.
Gui Santos is a hustle guy, a guy who can hit an open shot, a guy who works his ass off on defense, on every rebound, and a guy who doesn't, make nearly as many mistakes as Jonathan Kuminga. And to me, that's the reason he doesn't play. Now, if they get in a series where they're losing and they're losing because they can't score, that's when I think Kuminga would be more useful. In this series where it's really just like we have to do everything we can to like take care of the ball, to not let
Yeah.
this team get in transition, to execute at a really high level against an awesome defense, like that's where I don't think you need Kuminga. I think he's just more valuable, to give you a spark in a different scenario.
Counterpoint, I think that taking him out of this series takes him out of the playoffs.
And honestly, though,
Not.
I think that's okay. Like,
Okay.
I
Now
get
I'm
it.
just. I'm a little hesitant to say that there is not a single playoff series that you could use him in or
No, I
have him
think
be utilized in.
that's what I just said. I think you could. But if you're saying like mentally, like Kuminga can't come back from this, I mean, you're shit out of luck. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, but it's just annoying because it's the coaching staff's fault because they're not playing him to an extent. Like when he does play, obviously he makes those mistakes, those mental errors, but he's a good player and he's very young. And I mean, it's almost a little selfish, but I get it. It's clearly they're not going to keep him. And it's a shame because if they were going to keep him, I think you would see him playing just so that way he can play out these mistakes and
I
get
don't
that
agree with that.
experience. You don't agree?
I think they're trying to win basketball games, and I think Steve Kerr is doing what he thinks is best to win them basketball games, and that
No,
is having Kuminga on the bench.
I totally agree. I think it's from Kuminga's perspective, it's selfish towards his career because you would want, obviously, he's not the future of this team, right? And if he was the future of this team, or they expected to have him in the future, they would play him. Excuse me, and let him make some of those mistakes and kind of figure it out. But clearly, they're like, this guy's not gonna be on the team anymore. I don't give a fuck how he feels. I'm trying to win basketball games, which I get that aspect of it. I just think it's weird to take this potential weapon out of your arsenal by not playing him for an entire series in the last couple games of the regular season. I feel like it's just a strange thing where I know it's a 10-point game, and you're right. Like, you can't. Gui Santos, like, we're talking about him and talking about how great he played. He played 7 minutes.
Exactly.
That was seven important minutes that, Kuminga could have fucked up those 7 minutes and lost them the game. I just think it's like, I feel like there's something in there between the Buddy Hield and Quentin Post minutes. I know those are two very different players, and Kuminga is a very different player in that. But I feel like there must be a lineup that you can put in for, like, some sort of minutes to get him in there. But I see what you're saying. Like, there probably isn't a spot for him in the series. I just think long term, that takes them out of this run that they're hoping to have, but maybe they'll probably be fine with
I see what
it.
you're saying too. I don't know. I see what Steve Kerr. I see both sides of it.
Yeah.
But we can agree to disagree. That
It's
is just
fascinating.
an absolutely fascinating scenario and situation going on with Kuminga, and that series is incredible. Like,
Yeah, it's insane. Where do you want Kuminga to go if when he leaves?
honestly, I haven't put any thought into it. I would have to sit down and figure out the possibilities. I mean, in terms of like the type of team I want him on, I want him in a place where he can make mistakes. I want him in a place where they're not trying to contend and win a championship. I want him to be able to, learn and grow from stuff, and just, not have the keys, but not have to worry so much about every little decision, and just be able to be free and be a young player who makes mistakes, because that's what he is. And contending teams don't have those players on them.
I have two. I like Chicago. I think Chicago's like a really fun fit, especially if they don't get a draft spot that they're like super interested in. I think Kuminga's someone that they could bring in. And I just think he's really just kind of see what they have there. That's a very young team. They're kind of figuring everything out. I think that'd be fun. And then Charlotte, same kind of idea. Would be interesting to see just kind of a change of pace. I'm very pro just like gathering as many assets as possible when you're bad. Don't worry about how they all fit together yet. And I think, like, I know there's some overlap between other guys that they've brought in, but I think Kuminga would be one that's like, he's young. Let's throw him over there with another young team and see how he develops. So those are two that I think are kind of interesting. I hope he goes over there, but I don't see him as a player that can help a winning team right now, if that makes sense. He's kind of he's a project player.
You just argued for 10 minutes about having him play,
Well,
though.
that's very fair. But I don't think he's like, I just think it's kind of insane that he's playing 0 minutes in a
Yeah,
playoff
because
series.
he's.
He's
Yeah.
Gui Santos is playing over Jonathan Kuminga right now.
It is insane. It's insane, but
It's
it's
insane.
happening.
Yes. I
Okay.
get why it's happening, but yeah, all right, off this. Next topic.
Let's go to Lakers T-Wolves. Game one. Lakers get their doors blown off. T-Wolves don't miss a shot, and the Lakers looked out of sorts in terms of effort and focus. It was just terrible. And then last night, Lakers come out scorching hot. Luka has a dominant game in a dominant first quarter. The whole team was dominant in the first quarter. But then that game got so ugly. Like, it was just disgusting. They kept trying to go at Rudy Gobert, and Rudy held up like pretty
Yeah.
well. And they held the Lakers, what? How much did they score? 90 something? Like, not a lot of points.
94. They
Yeah.
scored 13 in the fourth.
Yeah, 94, and like the T-Wolves couldn't hit anything either. It was just a slog, and I thought the Lakers looked really like, for a win, that's a pretty depressing win if I'm a Lakers fan. It kind of worried me a little bit. I think Minnesota has a lot better of a chance than I thought they did before the series. I picked Lakers in six. I'll stick with Lakers in six. But I think I kind of got I thought it was a really bad matchup for Minnesota going in. I no longer think that.
I think it's Mini and seven. I thought it was a good
Wow.
Minnesota matchup going into it because of the bigs. This is the biggest thing to me that I just did not expect is Julius Randle's been incredible
He's
for
awesome.
Minnesota. And it's because he has the body to bang with the Lakers team that isn't big, but they don't have traditional big men, but they have these like big three, four guys
Yeah,
like
Rui,
Rui,
LeBron.
LeBron.
Yeah.
Exactly. God, that was
Vando.
so romantic that we just said that at the same
That was
time.
very cute,
But
yeah.
that was very cute. Anyways, like he can just bang with those guys. Like I think 90% of the league, when LeBron bangs into them, they go flying backwards. Julius like stands there and can take the contact and is very strong. He's just so big. And pause on everything I just said. But he's just been really impressive in this, and it's very funny that he's the guy that like we've been shitting on all year long because of how inefficient he is. But he's just been showing up. And I think I expected this game to happen. I bet Lakers -5.5, and I bet I parlayed that with Luka 30 plus. He had 31, so nice win there. But I mean, that one was kind of expected, but I think the real thing is like Jaden McDaniels' shooting variance is massive. He went off in the first game. He only had 8 in this game. Mike Conley is just kind of unplayable right now. He's just really old, and it's kind of, you're
Tiny.
seeing that. Yeah, you're seeing that. Naz Reid wasn't hitting a lot of open shots. Dante got into foul trouble very early. I think he had 3 in the first. So I think if you clean some of that stuff up, I definitely see how there's a way for Minnesota to get there. Ant played well. He is struggling with the Lakers defense, the way that they're doubling him on everything. If you're watching how he's trying to maneuver pick and rolls, he is just getting smoked. He's not at a point in his career where he can facilitate effectively as a number one option on a playoff team right now. I think that comes with age, but like I said, like we've talked about before, like he had 0 assists last night. He was getting he was going through. I know he had 25 points, but that was not a good 25 point performance from Ant.
I'll push back a little bit. I thought Ant was pretty good last night. I thought he got into the lane and made some pretty good kick out reads. The Lakers defense is totally collapsing on him when he drives. I honestly just thought Minnesota couldn't hit a shot. And like he had 9
Fair.
assists
That is
in
fair.
game one, and it was because Minnesota, it's the same thing. He's
Was
getting
hitting
into the
shots, yeah.
lane, but they just couldn't miss a shot. So I think that assist number is needs some context to it. I like this is one of the things that I thought before the series that I no longer really think. I think Ant has been pretty darn good as a playmaker. Julius has also been good as a playmaker. It's like I thought Jaden guarding Luka would not go well, which honestly it kind of hasn't. But I also thought like Rudy wouldn't be great in this series. I think Rudy's been
Yeah.
other than the reps on Luka, which Luka seems to have this like just superpower to destroy Rudy for whatever reason, but nobody else can.
Hates him.
Like
Yeah.
Rudy's been awesome in this entire series. And that game last night, like, I think you have to feel pretty good if you're Minnesota. Nobody could hit a
Oh,
shot. You
yeah.
had foul trouble with Naz Reid and DiVincenzo, and they couldn't play. DiVincenzo had 16 minutes, Reid had 20. And I just think, like, also what they're doing to LeBron hasn't looked good at all. I thought LeBron was gonna have a pretty solid series, and I think they have the size, like you're saying, like Naz Reid is a decent matchup for him. Julius Randle's good on him. Rudy Gobert's done well on him. So
Well, Hayes and Vanderbilt are unplayable. Hayes especially. Like those guys, like for the Lakers, those guys, I mean, they have to physically play because you literally don't have enough bodies. But those guys are bad for what the Lakers are doing. It still brings up, why did you not get Mark Williams on this team? He would be so fucking useful, especially in this series, like as a big body to kind of go at Rudy. Like they're struggling, man. And this lineup, they're cutting it to, it's a six-ish, man. It's mostly a five-man lineup, but it's like six with Gabe Vincent, who played 19 minutes. Like it's
the minutes are
LeBron had 40
crazy.
minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. LeBron had 40 minutes. Rui had 34. And if you think about it, Rui left because his face got broken. So he was gone for a few minutes. He was supposed to play more than that. Reeves had 43. Luka had 42 minutes. Dorian Finney-Smith had 39. The next highest was Gabe Vincent at 19. After that, the next highest was Jackson Hayes, Jared Vanderbilt, and Jordan Goodwin. It was 9, 8, 7. So they are not going to their bench. They don't trust their bench. It's going to be your starters a lot of the time with Gabe Vincent coming off. I think that gets old quick, especially when you are an older team like they are. It seems like LeBron is letting Luka do his thing, and I almost am wondering, like, hey, LeBron, you might need to kind of take over some of these quarters. And I haven't seen that yet where
I
he's been
don't.
able to take over a game. I think it's possible. I think it's still there, but I still think like I'm interested in seeing how this works out.
Yeah, I don't think it's like a, I don't know, process thing like you're saying, like LeBron needs to
No.
take the reins. I think when LeBron has tried to take the reins, it hasn't gone well. And the game
That's fair,
plan
yeah.
hasn't seemed to work. And I think LeBron needs to do a little bit more of like being deliberate about who he's trying to score on. Instead of attacking Rudy in a switch, why don't you try and get, Mike Conley or one of these smaller guys, a skinny guy, get Nikhil Alexander-Walker on a post up. I don't know. But what they've done so far hasn't worked. So I think there are definitely adjustments to be made for the Lakers offense. I just thought they were going to be able to like spread out this T-Wolves defense and like, beat him with ball movement and cuts and speed, and Rudy would look a lot worse than he has. Instead, they've just tried to go at Rudy, and like I said, it hasn't gone great. And I just think, with Ant and Julius playing as well as they are, getting to the rim and drawing help, they just need the role guys to make those shots. They need their obviously Nas and Dante to stay out of foul trouble. And honestly, if they did last night, I think that might have been a very different game.
Well, I agree that, LeBron needs to sort of space it out a little bit and stop attacking Rudy as much. I don't think he can, man. He's shooting 20% from three, 43% from the field. He's not jump shooting the ball as well as we've seen him shoot in the past. I know that's always kind of been the one thing
Yeah,
LeBron needs to
no,
like.
I think more like even if it's not jump shooting, just driving against a smaller guy or posting up a
Yes, getting
smaller
on
guy
switch.
and
Yeah,
hunting the
yeah.
different switches. I don't know if it's a game plan thing with JJ of being like, yeah, we want LeBron to be going at Naz Reid and at Julius and at Rudy Gobert. But through two games, I would find it hard to believe that JJ would want that to continue.
Yeah.
So we'll see if that adjustment kind of.
My guess is they're trying to draw fouls on those guys and get them in foul trouble early just to kind of completely remove them. So that way you could probably put in guys like Jackson Hayes and Jared Vanderbilt to take some minutes away from their other starters, because I think that's literally they need to figure some stuff out, man. I don't know. Like I'm
Hayes was
interested in
brutal
seeing.
last night. That
Hayes was fucking
goaltend, the
horrible. I
goaltend
despise
and
Hayes.
the screen in the backcourt. Oh my
Oh my
God.
God.
That's
I freaking
awful.
despise Jackson Hayes. I think, like, as a person too, just all the shit
Oh
that he's
wow.
done on the
Getting
off the
personal.
court. Well, I don't know if you know much about his personal life, but
I don't.
there's some tough videos out there of him beating up his girlfriend
Oh, I
on
didn't know
video.
that.
Yeah, so, and he got tased by the
Not
police. I
trying
don't
to
know about
laugh at
that.
that, by the way.
I don't know about that. This is getting into murky water, but what I'm trying to say is I don't like Jackson Hayes as a player very much at all. Never really did. So, I mean, it's interesting to see that he's getting played off the floor, especially he's talking shit about Rudy Gobert. He said something about Rudy, and it's like, Rudy's outplaying you, man, and
Oh my God.
you're probably going to be without a job here soon in LA at least. So,
Dude, you see Rudy with the coast to coast layup? That was
yes,
insane. I thought he was
very
going to trip
awkward.
four
I
times.
thought he was going to trip. I thought he was going to Sam, what was it, Sam Decker himself, where he, again, MSG when he was on the Rockets and he face planted into the ball in
Yeah.
a wide open layup.
Dan
I thought he
Danny
was going to do that to
Dimes
himself.
run for a touchdown. Thought it was one of
Yeah.
those. All right,
Yeah.
let's go
Let's take
to.
a quick break.
All right, we are going to go to Memphis and OKC, Max. Game one
Sweep.
was an. Yeah, I picked the Thunder in five. I guess I'll go Thunder in four after a 50-point W. Do you have any expert analysis here? I mean,
My expert analysis is that Memphis shouldn't be here. They shouldn't be in this position. Well, they shouldn't be in this, series. And I like there should be a mercy rule. Like when it's 3-0 and you've won every game, you win the first game by 50. Granted, last game they kept it close and only lost by 19. I think if like you're up 3-0 and it's a total of like, I don't know, 60 plus point differential in those three games, I would say maybe it's just we don't have to play a fourth game,
I
but
think
that's
the
just me.
craziest thing too, I think KOC was tweeting about this. They forfeited, well, not forfeited, but they don't get their draft pick now because it had some protection on it. And if they had just lost in the
Yeah.
play-in, they would have like a top 15 pick, and now they sacrificed a draft pick to get just slaughtered by the Thunder.
To like would it have been more detrimental to the team if they missed the play-in or if they made it get slaughtered in the first round and now it's like, do we trade Ja? Do we trade Jaren Jackson
No, because
Jr.?
those questions would have happened anyways. It just would have been 2 weeks earlier. So it
No,
would have
I disagree. I think they go, it's a lost season. We fired our coach late. We have to figure some stuff out. And I think they still would have figured some shit out. I don't know if you go in there and they fucking get slaughtered. I think now the trade machine gets kind of ramped up here,
because
I think.
especially like seeing the specific matchup with the Thunder,
Yes.
they're like, wow, we're really far away. Like,
Yes.
we
We're
can't
not
even
even
convince
close.
ourselves that we're anywhere close to these guys. So, all right. I
Yeah,
mean,
it's so bad. That's all I gotta say.
hey,
I mean,
maybe
this
they'll
is
surprise us.
terrible.
Maybe they'll surprise us and get and take one
The
home.
only way they would surprise me is if they lose by more than 50, I think.
It's fair. All right, let's go to Pacers Bucks because it's fresh on my mind because I spent like 3 hours today making a TikTok on it.
Sure.
The Pacers have looked dominant. I do think there are a lot of adjustments to be made. I picked Bucks in seven, kind of regrettably before this series. I would switch that to Pacers in six. I think the Bucks will make the adjustments. I think they will take two games home. But yeah, this Pacers team is a nightmare matchup for the Bucks.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I think it's Pacers in six as well. I think the Bucks grab one
Yeah.
tomorrow, I
I
think.
think
Yeah,
they win
I think
game
they
three.
grab. Yeah, I think they win game three, and then I think they win game five. That's kind of my thought process here. Main takeaways is that, well, one, I think Dame deserves some credit. He did not play in a very long time, and to come in and put up 37 minutes, and it wasn't as obviously, it wasn't the greatest game of all time. To come in cold into a playoff game and put up 37 minutes and, be able to have 7 assists and 14 rebounds, I was impressed by that personally.
He had
Obviously, he didn't
14
look.
rebounds?
No, sorry, 14 points, 7 assists. Excuse
Okay,
me.
I was
Excuse me. Misspoke.
like,
Misspoke. But just for him to come in and do that, like, I think there's a lot of guys that would have not played for as long as he did and then not be able to be in basketball shape
yeah,
and
I
get
mean,
thrown into a playoff
37 minutes
series.
was a lot, but let's be honest, like, it was a bad game. Like, he
It was a
didn't
bad
play
game.
good.
It was a bad game. I was still impressed that he was able to even play. Like, I think no
Yeah,
ramp up, like,
that's
that's
totally
pretty
fair
crazy.
because it's a
Yeah.
scary injury, totally get all that. And
That being,
to start talking shit right away. I
yeah,
mean,
that was
game
kind of
one, just
wild.
getting a scuffle.
Yeah, that was wild.
No rust.
Kind of takeaways from this. I mean, if I'm Giannis, I am. I texted this last night. I never thought I would get to a point where, like, as a Celtics fan, I would actually feel bad for Giannis and be like, you're actually kind of wasting this guy's prime. He is so fucking good, so unstoppable, and the Pacers are basically just like, okay, Giannis, you can have 20 rebounds and 40 points or whatever. We're gonna rely on everyone else, and you have to use that other team to beat us. And so far, they just can't. I mean, it is. You got 28 from Portis, and other than that, no one scored more than 14.
Oh
And
man,
it's,
Bobby was great. Let's go negative
yeah.
though, because KPJ put up one of the worst role player
Worse, yeah, go
performances
ahead.
I've ever seen in my entire life. I thought it was absolutely like hilariously, comically bad. The shots he was taking, the decisions he was making, the decisions he wasn't making were actually even worse. When on one play, Giannis is literally posting up, demanding the ball, like hand up, give me the ball, and KPJ's like pass faking, and then takes a pull up three contested and doesn't give the ball to, one of the three or four best players in the entire world. So,
Oh my
yeah, just
God.
wanted to get
It
that out of the
was,
way. I thought KPJ
yeah.
was abysmal and as destructive as a role player could be. That is one adjustment that I talked about in my
Yeah.
TikTok. KPJ, just be
Maybe.
better. Just
Yeah.
be
Or don't
better.
even play
Maybe
him.
don't play as
Well, you have
much.
to play him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because they have to go like 10 guys deep. Like Sims Green, Porter Jr., Gary Trent Jr., Bobby Portis. Damn, three juniors in a row. Bobby Portis Jr., Torian Prince, Damian Lillard, Brook Lopez. Oh, Kuzma. Jeez, hey, who would have fucking guessed? As Kuzma, not an impactful player. Who
I
would have
thought he was
fucking guessed?
fine
Other than,
yesterday. We're always going to
I don't
disagree
know.
about Kuzma. We always see two different Kyle Kuzmas when we watch. I see the good and you see the bad. Sims is not a junior,
Yeah.
by the way, so clean that
Nope. I said Gary, Kevin Porter Jr., Gary Trent Jr., Bobby
up.
Portis Jr.
Okay.
Dick.
Okay. You're
So,
right.
no. One thing that stuck out to me is that the Pacers are playing that killer whale offense that Joe Mazzulla loves, where so much ball movement. I don't have the numbers on the pass. Like, I don't know the pass numbers, but they've got to make more passes than any other team. And it's just pass, pass,
Oh my
pass.
God, yeah.
And basically, the killer whale offense, for those of you that don't know, Joe Mazzulla, you're attacking like a killer whale does. You try to basically attack, 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 single out one person that's the weakest and go. And that's what they're doing. I mean, they're just passing, 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 passing up good shots for great shots. Just trying to get the most out of every single possession, and it's obviously
Well,
absolutely working. Go
I'll
ahead.
tell you what else about the killer whale offense is mismatch hunting, and
Yeah,
my
there's
God,
so
are there
many.
mismatches to hunt
Yes, there's a
on
lot.
this Bucks team. Brook Lopez was completely unplayable, and
Yep.
Tyrese Haliburton made a fool out of him on multiple plays. There's some plays like it doesn't even look like Brook belongs in the league sometimes
Yeah, too slow-footed.
when you see him guarding Haliburton on the perimeter. And then Damian Lillard, they kept getting Dame switched onto big men, the Pacers did, and I thought it was really smart to do that. And then what the Bucks do, this is what kind of what my TikTok was about, kind of nerdy, so bear with me. But what the Bucks do when Dame is on the big is they try and scram him out to the corner and they try and bring a big back onto the big. And while that switch is happening, the Pacers hit those skip passes and they work off that. And I think it's a really good, credit to the Pacers for like realizing the that's what the Bucks are doing and punishing it. But yeah, Dame and Brooke both got absolutely torched defensively. Dame also gave up some just threes right over his contest, not like bad defense or anything. It's just like you're too short, like I don't see your hand kind of thing. So yeah, I thought the Bucks defense definitely looked awful with Brook on the court. They had to bring in Sims, who I thought gave him good minutes. Bobby Portis gave him amazing minutes. I thought the Bucks offense looked like pretty decent, other than some of the Kevin Porter Jr. stuff. I didn't think Taurean Prince played very well. Kuzma I thought was just fine, but I do think like if they can just lean into Bobby Portis on defense, Jericho Sims on defense, limiting Brooks' minutes as much as possible. I thought they had some good reps in the zone with Brook early on, especially kind of flustered the Pacers. But if Brook's in the game, I think you got to play the zone. If the zone doesn't work, Brook can't play. Sorry, we're going with Bobby. And I think that's a big adjustment going forward. And other than that, like they had some really sloppy turnovers that Doc was mad about. You just clean some of that stuff up, clean up some of the defensive breakdowns that they had. Like I think game three might honestly change how we look at this series. Like it seems super lopsided right now. I don't think it's as lopsided as it's looked by any means, because I think Giannis is an absolutely nightmare matchup for the Pacers. I don't think they have a single thing for Giannis. But yeah, I mean, maybe we should get that guy the ball, right?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he had 34 and he could have had like 48. So that was
34
all
on
Kevin
20
Porter
shots.
Jr.'s
It's
fault.
fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's whatever. He only just, gets the ball at the top of the 3-point line and can get to the rim in one step, or gets it at, gets it in the post and is just literally turning around, going through three people and just dunking it or laying it in somehow. It's not a big deal. Shout out Andrew Nembhard, man.
Oh
Second
my
round
God, yeah.
pick. Every time I've weirdly been to like three or four Pacers, Celtics Pacers games, and every time we come back, we do a live reaction or a reaction podcast, and I think every single time you and I, or because you and I went to a Celtics Pacers game as well, we've mentioned just how good Nembhard is in person. He is guarding you the entire way, all like every game, all game he is guarding you the entire full court, and he makes big shots. Like the shot that he made last night was fucking massive. It reminded me of the shot that he hit over Jaylen Brown, I think, in the playoffs last year. And he had like airballed or like nearly like barely hit the net on the shot right before that. To be able to just like throw that out of your head and take another shot and make it is extremely impressive. The guy plays extremely hard. He just is a winning basketball player. It's been proven that he can do it in the playoffs. And he was a second rounder, so he's on a super cheap contract. I think he's getting paid like anywhere in the $2 to $8 million range. So
Yep.
just shout out to the Pacers for picking him, and shout out to fucking Andrew Nembhard for being incredible.
Yeah, not to mention he's just gets so much better in the playoffs. Like he's very good in the regular season, but like both of these last two seasons in the playoffs, he has completely stepped up as an offensive player and a shot maker. So totally agree. Nembhard, deserved shout out. Let's go to Knicks Pistons. Our buddy Letty is in a dark place now as a Knicks fan after game two. But what have you seen with this series? What's your prediction?
This next team is soft, man. They got this lack of identity going on where they. First off, that was an abysmal Brunson game. I think
Terrible.
if you look at the stat line, you're going to be like, oh, well, he played pretty well, right? No, I think he was a large part of why they lost the game. I mean, Cat was playing really well in the first two quarters. He had like 10 points, I believe. Didn't shoot in the fourth. He wasn't getting the ball. It was Brunson, Brunson, Brunson. The Pistons were able to figure out, obviously, that's what they wanted to do. Brunson just lost his head. He was way too focused on foul baiting. It happened on both sides. Like Schroeder was very good at it. There's a lot of flopping on both sides. But Brunson, I think he just got too much into that game, and it took him out of the flow of what they were trying to do. And they just became really redundant. Now, I don't know if that's a Thibodeau issue where the coaching, the offensive scheming, and schematics from Thibodeau have not been good for this Knicks team, or whether it's just because Brunson, is kind of getting a little ball dominant here and trying to take over the game. I don't know what it is, but this team, man, they're looking a little soft, And they got to figure some shit out, man, because this Pistons team is the antithesis of soft, and they're going to fucking pounce on you. I still think the Knicks are going to win. I think the Knicks are going to win in, I believe, 5 or 6 games, but I do think there is something here where you might be a little bit scared because they barely scraped away with game 1, and then they lost game 2. Like it's getting a little scary.
I had the Knicks in six. I'll stick with Knicks in six. I think the Pistons get one more, maybe even two more. But yeah, I do think the Knicks will win this. And to your Thibodeau point, it is absolutely Thibodeau's fault to have this much offensive talent and not run a play and just run ISOs over and over again and not use Karl-Anthony Towns, who honestly, through the first game and a half, had a lot of success. Like they have Tobias on him. Cat.
Tobias can't guard him. Like Cat is attacking Tobias,
I
and
mean,
it is not.
Tobias has, he got a couple stops on him, but then they just completely went away from Cat. I don't know if that was why, but like Cat is a weapon and he's been awesome in the series. He's been, his shot making, some of these floaters that he's throwing in while like getting bumped and like off balance, off the wrong foot, like he's been disgusting. So let's use that guy. The same thing with like OG Anunoby, who only gets 10 shots, but to a much lesser extent. I mean, you got to get Cat the ball. Brunson has some blame for sure, but I think that's a coaching thing. I do want to talk positively about the Pistons though, because I thought this
Oh,
was
yeah.
an exceptional Cade Cunningham game, and especially after game one where they give up that 21-0 run, and a lot of it is just because the Pistons are young and inexperienced and making stupid mistakes. Like Cade got caught on a couple blitzes. Ausar had a couple really bad moments in game one, and they just, like, the intensity got to him, right? And they come into game two, and Cade Cunningham has just a dominant performance. I thought he handled every double team really well. I thought his drives were excellent. I thought he was great. He was very decisive on his drives with, okay, am I attacking? Yes, like instantly. Or am I attacking or passing? Like whatever it is, right? Whereas in game one, it's like, I don't know, should I pass? Should I do this? Should I? And then he does nothing, or he turns it over. So I thought Cade was excellent. I thought he showed that he was absolutely ready for the moment. And this Pistons team, man, like you don't want to mess around with them. You really, you
Well,
don't want to give them life.
the thing that really stuck out to me, other than Cade is like the number one takeaway where I was like, holy fuck, this guy is going to be in our lives for a very long time. He is a fucking dog. He's showing us that. Like, I almost am more impressed when someone comes out and has a really bad game for their first playoff game and then plays awesome after. Because, like, that to me is almost a little bit harder because you're like really feeling the heat now because you had a stinker and like, you can crumble where it's like you come in, you're good right away. You haven't really faced adversity yet. Like Cade's faced some adversity. He had a tough first game and he was able to play incredible the next game. So that was super impressive to me. The other thing that really stuck out to me was Jalen Duren, man. This guy
Oh,
is
yeah.
a legit, very, very good rim protector and just incredible basketball player. He is so big and solid and hard to move, hard to push around, hard to score on. And we were seeing guys like change what their game plans were and change the options to drive to the rim because Duren was rotating over to them and protecting the rim and blocking a lot of shots. Like Jalen Duren, man, I think he deserves a lot of credit. He had 13 rebounds, 12 points, played 37 minutes, and I thought he was ridiculously impactful. I was very impressed by him. For Ausar, I'm still really impressed with him. I think Jalen Brunson is the hardest guy to guard without fouling because
Well, some of those
one of the
calls were
hardest
bad
ones.
too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not gonna lie to you. Those are my least, like I couldn't wait for that game to be over. I was really struggling to finish that game because it was just a hard watch, man. Like no one wants to watch that shit. No one wants to watch foul shot, foul shot, foul shot. Hurts the flow of the game, constant reviewing. It just was fucking hard to watch and it sucks because the Madison Square Garden is like the greatest place to watch a basketball game. So, I was kind of frustrated with that and I was kind of frustrated with Brunson because of that. But yeah, I think Tibbs on his way out here. Especially if they lose this series.
If they lose this because they can't score and because their offensive process is terrible, then I couldn't agree more. There is
Absolutely.
too much of a talent gap here for them to lose this series. But
Yes.
let's go to Cavs Heat. 1-0 series lead. It was a pretty entertaining game. Ty Jerome goes off. Mitchell, Jerome, Garland, all going off was just a really fun experience. But I had Cavs in four here. I'll stick with it. I don't think the Heat have enough talent.
Yeah, I got nothing more to add. I mean, this team was put together at the trade deadline, and you're just not going to get like Tyler Hero. Okay, nice offensive game, dude. Your defense is fucking abysmal. Like, I don't care how many
Yeah,
offensive, I don't
they
care how many
hunted him.
points you're going. Yeah. I
Hunted
don't
him
care how many points you're putting
relentlessly.
up, dude. Yeah. So that was tough. I like Davion as a player. I'm happy that he's getting some run here. Trying to think. Yeah. I mean, just not, I don't really have too much on this one.
No, that's a good shout. Davion, I am also happy for him because there were times where we were questioning, like, is this guy even an NBA
Yeah.
player? And now we look like absolute idiots because I think he, clear as day, is an NBA rotation player going forward. So.
Any Bam movement stuff? Just put it out
Movement.
there. Well, not
I
like,
mean, Bam was
yeah.
pretty good. I still, I don't
No,
know.
I get that part, but any, it's like, oh, hey, I've been in the league for a while now. Like, I'm starting to want to play. I know they went to a finals. That team is not this team. I
I don't
don't know
know.
how
There
you.
seems to be like this camaraderie around the Jimmy Butler situation with this team, and that it's
Definitely.
like it brought them all together, and they're like, we had to deal with this crazy shit in the middle of our season, and we're gonna fight through it anyways, and we're gonna make the playoffs as a 10 seed. We're gonna win the play-in, and yeah, maybe we'll get swept by this incredible Cavs team, but we're gonna fight our asses off. I feel like, honestly, I feel like they all love each other still. I don't think Bam has any like ill will towards anyone. I mean,
Not, it's
maybe.
not that aspect. It's more so that Bam's about to be 28 in July.
Yeah. But I mean, if you're
And
getting paid and you're in Miami and you like everyone around you, I don't know. You have a good coach, like, it's a good organization.
you're not gonna win a fucking championship in the next 2 years,
But I
man.
don't know if that's always the like most important thing to everyone. Like, I think there are more things than going ring chasing at 28.
I don't think it's ring chasing. I think it's like, hey man, I'm good. I'm in my prime. I want to go try and win a championship here. And I think that's not ring chasing. Ring chasing is like if you're Kevin Durant and you take a vet minimum on the Celtics or Thunder or whatever to try and win
I
a
guess
ring.
so, yeah. I don't know. I
I'm just
don't think
saying,
Bam
all I'm
wins.
saying
He
is
feels like a
I think you
Heat. He
should.
feels he just he is. He is a Heat.
He is a Heat, but I think like if you're Bam, I think you got to be like, all right, well, I'm 20, tw about to be 28 in this summer. This team is not going to win a championship in the next few years. If he wants to win, I think you start to see something where it's like, do the Heat look to move him? Do they try and figure something out? Like I'm putting it
Maybe.
out there. I it's way too early for that. They only lost one game. Just putting it out there.
Yeah, you're speculating.
Just
Whatever.
speculating. Okay.
Okay.
Magic Celtics, it's on right now. That's why I keep looking to the side. Score update, do you want it?
I see it. 17-16.
Okay. Oh, actually you're ahead of me. I'm 16-15 right now. But this game, like I expect them to lose game two. Can you vouch for me? I did say the Celtics will lose game two like 2 weeks ago
You
or a
did.
week ago.
However, you didn't predict the Tatum injury, which
Didn't
is why
predict
I'm
that.
wondering, like, did you tell KCP, like, hey, I told my friends that they were gonna lose game two, so can you go up there and like kind of give them a little extra?
I did text him that, but he didn't answer. So I think I
Okay,
don't
so we don't
know.
know if
He
he
might have
saw
read
it.
it. He might have
Yeah.
read it. Yeah. So no, I didn't think the foul was actually that dirty at
I
all,
didn't either.
honestly. I like that they had to do that. Like they had to go, like Horford had to say something. I totally get that part. Just don't think it was like a dirty play. The Magic just don't have enough scoring, and the Celtics are a better team. I expect them to win 4-1, 4-2 at the most. But
Also,
this Tatum injury is a little scary because Tatum plays no matter what, and that's a
true.
little scary.
I will just a little bit spend some time on the fact that our two best players were awful in game one and they still won pretty handily. And it just goes to show you why this Celtics team is my favorite to win the championship because they have guys like Jrue Holiday and Derrick White who can just go absolutely nuts. Porzingis was bad too. And they
And
just have,
Pritchard, sixth man of the year.
yeah, Pritchard, congrats on sixth man, of course. I
Shout out
have
PP.
I do think the Magic get one. Maybe it's tonight. Let's go find out.
Yeah, absolutely. Also shout out Noah Dalzell. She writes for the Celtics and like she does a lot for the Celtics. I don't know her exact title off the top, but she's always on the TV and she's writing. She had a great piece that I reposted on Twitter and she retweeted my retweet and commented. She's great. I love her content, seriously. And she's like probably close to our age, if not a tiny bit older or even a tiny bit younger. And she does amazing stuff. So if you aren't familiar with her, I'm sure you probably are if you're a Celtics fan because she's everywhere. Check out her stuff. She's awesome. Yeah, so shout out to her.
I obviously we're Celtics fans. We have never talked about Noah. I didn't know this happened on Twitter. I love Noah. I think she
Yeah,
is
she makes
incredible.
amazing content.
She also she asks some of the questions
Yes.
that get the best responses out of Joe Mazzulla that you'll see. Yeah,
Yes.
great shout out. Love her stuff. Obviously we're biased because we're Celtics fans. I'm literally wearing the shirt, but yeah.
I'm wearing a Celtics hat right now. But yes, no, I'm glad you said that too. I was gonna get to there. She gets Mazzulla to say some things that he doesn't like. He'll be like, you know how Mazzulla is when he's giving interviews, and he'll be like, "That's a great question. You guys should ask more questions like this." Yeah, Noah's fucking awesome. She's an absolute killer at what she does. Would love to get her on the pod one day. But yeah, so shout out to her, and shout out to the Celtics, man. I hope they kind of pull it together here because my happiness is derived directly from this team. So
Yeah, we
I
got some
really
stuff
need
to
that.
worry about, man. Like
Yes.
the Jalen knee, which has looked fine, but now this Tatum thing, man.
Yeah, it's gonna be
Poor us.
it's never easy. It's never easy. But yeah, poor us. But all right, thank you, Jordan, for coming on. Here's the deal. We are gonna try and do smaller, like maybe shorter form episodes, but more frequently from now until draft. This is the time where we get the most listeners. This is the time where we can put out the most entertaining content. So you're gonna be hearing from us a lot. I'm not gonna just sit here and give you a schedule because I don't know it off the top. Me and Jordan are just gonna try and record whenever we can. Me and Zwick are going to be going live for the NFL draft show on YouTube. And there's a caveat to that. We might not be able to figure out how to do that. So if you're listening to this and you're interested, look up Jordan. I'm just going to do it on your YouTube channel if that's okay. So look up the Couch JD on YouTube. No, it's not JD Vance fucking a couch. You can find this episode and you can find potentially me and Zwick going live if we're able to figure it out. If we're not able to figure it out, you won't see that. But we're going to be live reacting to the NFL draft tomorrow. After that, me and Jordan have a bunch of pods coming out. We have a very special pod with Ben Pfeiffer coming out soon. We don't know when we're going to post it, but we're recording it soon. It's all about the NBA draft. We're probably going to wait for playoffs to die down before we post that. But a lot of really fun content. Also, I wanted to shout out Jordan. He got a really cool offer or like kind of thing from the. I don't know if you want to talk about it, but you got a approach with something. I don't know if we can
Yeah, I
talk
mean,
about it or.
the Brooklyn Nets reached out to do a collab on TikTok, so we're trying to figure something out. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I think there's going to be some sort of collaboration with the Brooklyn Nets. So cool thing
Yeah,
that
and he's
happened.
gonna sit courtside. He's gonna sit courtside. And he's gonna bring his buddy
No,
Max. So it's
I'm
gonna be
not.
awesome. Yes, he is. It's gonna be so fun. It's gonna be great. So shout out to you, Jordan. It's really cool to see you making some fucking strides in your career finally. Yeah. But be on the lookout. There's gonna be a bunch of content coming out. We're not slacking this time. We're really getting all our shit out. As always, please like and subscribe on YouTube and give us a thumbs up. That's obviously liking it. Comment as well. That helps us out so much more than you guys know. On Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you listen. I know we do Amazon Prime, Deezer, whatever weird thing you're using to listen to us. Please give us 5-star or like. It helps us out so much. It helps us do more crazy things. I eventually want to, do a lot more with this pod. So, yeah, we appreciate all the stuff we already get, and we can't wait. Please recommend us to friends if you know someone that wants to listen to this stuff as well. But thank you all for listening. We are going to be back sometime soon with some more recaps. But yeah, love you all and peace.